Yeah, good. So now he moves on to what he calls the section on the persuasiveness of general revelation. He says, let's consider a bit more this third vulnerability, right, concerning this kind of secret dependence on God, right? So, all people are dependent on God. He says, a non-Christian in the West typically assumes that reality consists in facts that do not clearly reveal God. So if a Christian concedes this assumption, he tells us, or if he appears to concede it by never challenging it, then the special claims of Scripture, begin to lose their plausibility. And so he's suggesting we can't do this. We can't let this go unchallenged.
If the non-Christian gains the alleged right to interpret the world autonomously, he will also interpret Scripture autonomously. Very much the case, and conclude that it is merely human. Well, we know there's no God, but the Bible says, well, nope, there is no God. Therefore, the Bible is just something made up. So there, rejected. On the other hand, a robust understanding of general revelation helps to unveil ways in which the knowledge of God is suppressed in unbelief. I am way more moral. I have a sense of deep morality when it comes to this. Sense? Morality? Hold on. We're just all random accidents bumping along. You're fizzing more than other people in this area. You believe very highly in this, but so what? How does this lend to your survivability? How does caring about people in Indonesia help you in Alaska? It doesn't. So you shouldn't be concerned about this because it doesn't lend to your a survivability. You should be, honestly, you should be not being so obtrusive. You should get married and have more children in order to pass on your genes. That's the ultimate goal for our species, is it not? So why don't we just stop doing more things that happen out in the world and just get more children out in the world and be better parents? Well, okay.
Yeah.
So by what standard is that the case? Why isn't that the case according to that understanding? Non-Christians depend on God and simultaneously corrupt their knowledge of God in their situation of dependence. And Frame unpacks these dependencies.
Right. And so we'll see that as we go through Frame's book. So finally, he says, we kind of return to the beginning, right? What is needed is discipleship to Christ. So we're back at this idea of commitment and discipleship. He says, we need to be calling folks to discipleship, those who are caught in the prison of unbelief and darkness. But we also need to grow as Christians ourselves. Serious discipleship leads to understanding God and the world, and understanding bears fruit in apologetics. So every piece of food, he says, and every moral issue are potentially starting points for apologetic discussion, because every apple testifies to its source in God. Mm. And so in the end, Frame's book, he tells us, expounds discipleship in the area of apologetics. And so that's what he wants us to see with regard to Frame's book. And so that's kind of Poitras here, his take, his foreword on Frame's book, and he kind of raises some of these issues. And as we'll see, Frame will kind of deal with these in more detail and, in a way that will help us understand this particular approach to apologetics.
Right.